T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Marloni and Fourier.
A lot of people are preaching doom and gloom.
Oh, God.
Are we still talking about beluga?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Why don't we eat a baby whale? Why don't we do that? Like, why don't we just find a whale and eat a whale? Listen, you can't do this to me.
I'm done.
The Patriots get set for freezing weather in Buffalo.
Take some Viagra for the game, baby. Got to fit that circulation going right.
I don't know how to...
Something Fourier has practical knowledge of. Who knew?
There's not a more reliable source in the city than Fourier.
We'll talk with Rodney Harrison as we get set for Pat's Bills. Jack Edwards joins us for Bruins Thursday. WEEI.com's Andy Hart sits in with the MFers.
It's like going to a strip club. We know what's going on here. It's a business arrangement.
It's Lou.
You wear Lululemon all the time.
I do.
Who wears Lululemon more than Lou?
Hold
nobody.
On.
Nobody.
It's Christian.
Josh ain't going to Houston to be an offensive coordinator, correct?
Yeah. Assistant to the assistant.
So is this it? Is this the spot?
For Josh McDaniels?
No, for David Culley.
It's Marloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Marloni and Fourier here on a Thursday. We got a lot going on here, too.
Every now and then you stop paying attention and you get caught. You know, every now and then it happens. Like sometimes, Andy, I would leave the huddle and I did not know what the snap count was on, and I just had to wait until the ball was actually snapped to move.
A little slow off the ball that play.
A little slow off the ball, yeah. Just want to make sure I'm not offside.
Hello, Andy Hart here from WEEI.com. You're brought to somebody. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, who's sponsoring you now?
Our friends at McFarlane. Because you know they have great Mitsubishi.
Yes.
Everything's powered by Mitsubishi.
We will make it official here in a minute with Andy Hart. But still, yeah, we got a big show. It is a Bruins Thursday. Jack Edwards, Bruins on a roll. Hat trick from Brad Marchand. We'll get into those guys as well. Rodney Harrison. He'll join us. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend.
We promise.
No, I don't promise.
I don't make promises.
No, I'm going to make a promise.
I'm pretty sure he's going to come on with us. That's all I can go right now.
I'm almost 100% sure
you're vouching for him.
Yeah, I am.
He'll shave your eyebrow if he doesn't come on.
Maybe if he hears vouching for him, he'll feel like more committed to come. Maybe that's what it is now.
And hopefully he'll get some more suggestions, although we are sort of leaning in on the punishment for our playoff bet. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. But Andy Hart, you walked into the office today and you just posed a very simple question.
Mm.
You said, do the Patriots have to win the game on Saturday? Which sounds like a Wiggy question. Or do the Bills have to lose it in order for you to win? So what would your answer be?
100% Bills have to lose it.
Pats can't win it unless the Bills lose it.
If the Bills play well, if they play their game, and I'm talking mentally, physically, execution, they play their game, I don't think the Patriots
are
good enough.
So if the Patriots win on Saturday night, we come in here Monday morning and play that question. Did the Pats win or the Bills lose? And you say the answer, if they win, will be the Bills lose the game.
Correct. It means Josh Allen's feet were cold. He didn't know where to throw. His hands were cold. He was inaccurate. He threw interceptions. You got turnovers. They made mistakes. Sean McDermott challenged something that no one in the stadium thought he was going to win.
Is that just because you think they're just a better football team than you? And if you lined up and both teams played well, you would lose?
Yes. And not only are better, because our better is that I don't want to sound like Christian and start to get into who's playing better over the last four games, and all of a sudden we go down a slippery slope.
We'll get into that. Mac Jones is now the second-ranked quarterback in the draft, according to Fournier. In playoffs. We'll get to that later.
I added a new variable.
24 hours later, he keeps moving it, boy.
Is there anything in this world? I used the example with my guy, Ryan Hannibal, on our podcast.
Yeah.
I said to you, you've been to a restaurant four times because you really want to like it. Four times. Three of the meals, you barely made it home before you crapped your pants. You got the worst food poisoning ever. One of the meals was pretty good, but three of the four, awful. You're going there for a fifth time. you're a little worried you're going to crap your pants, aren't you? Right?
This is Team Pauly.
That's the pink. Yes, exactly.
I mean, if you're basing it on that, I'm not so sure anybody that would go back a second time or a third time.
Or maybe a friend owns it and you're trying to do a favor, whatever. But my point is, when 3 out of 4 of anything go really bad, don't you go, yeah, maybe I should stop doing that, or I wish I could change that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I agree with you. I think the fact that the Patriots offense has to be, one, they need help, like, right, against good teams. They need extra possessions.
They need
a non-offensive touchdown. They need a fumble. They need something, right? They need extra help.
Same as the 2001 team.
Yeah.
Remember when we were doing that comparison? Same as the 2001 team. Yeah. The difference was that team got those plays down the stretch and into the postseason. Blocked field goal, return it for a touchdown. Big play in the passing. Ooh, a pick six for Ty Law because somebody's hitting. This team hasn't been getting any of those plays.
Well, lately,
they're not making plays.
Lately, no, they have not. It's like they just forgot. Like, that was part of their DNA. Like, that's what they needed.
Or
so they stopped getting them, and they started giving it away at a crazy clip.
Or the competition was better. Well, they played the Colts. They played the Bills.
No, see, I don't believe that.
I do.
I don't believe that.
I do. I think when you play better competition, your team.
Jakob Johnson not being able to block a
that
routine.
That gets to coaching. No.
To me.
That gets to coaching.
Well, that's another argument, too. I will jump in there also. But I don't think, like, the plays were so... give me something other than uncharacteristic. Come on, you're a writer. I don't want to say uncharacteristic anymore.
Well, you also shouldn't because it's wrong.
Why?
Because when you say uncharacteristic in September, October, November, and December, you know what it's called? Drop the un.
It's a trend.
It's characteristic.
It's a trend.
It's characteristic of the way you play.
When we said uncharacteristic, it's uncharacteristic of teams that Bill Belichick coaches.
When? 6 years ago?
Correct. But this is a new team.
Yeah.
So, and this is why I felt like the first 6 weeks we saw uncharacteristic mistakes from a Bill Belichick team. The last 4 weeks we saw uncharacteristic mistakes of a Bill Belichick team.
That is
10 weeks of a 17-game season to where it might be uncharacteristic for Bill's teams, but for this team, it might just be who they are.
Which is why I asked the question the other night, probably not supposed to bring things up we didn't talk about in the production meeting for Charlie Casserly here, but... is this the worst coach Patriots team in the history of the Bill Belichick era?
That's a whole.
Well, because some people think it's one of Bill's best coaching years of his career.
I think it's the worst, and I actually don't think it's arguable. I can never think of this litany of plays that were, and I know some of it is swayed because when you had Brady and you were always winning, there was a crappy missed something in the second quarter, but you scored touchdowns the next two possessions and you forget about that
dumb
penalty.
Well, you're going to piss off everybody.
But 3 blocked punts, correct?
I thought I pissed off everybody.
Just listen,
offsides, lining up over the center. Hey, let's put N'Keal Harry back for his first ever punt return so it can bounce off his
face. Forgot about that play.
That's what I mean. There's so many bad plays this year.
You know
what? You forget about a lot of them.
And you know you're not even bringing up, like, it's funny, I wrote this down maybe 3 weeks ago about how poorly executed, like, the offensive line cannot handle stunts. And they can't pass off blocks. Stupid, all 22 type stuff. But it always causes a problem for them. Always. There is, and you think about what we were talking about in the beginning of the season, backs picking up blitzes. I feel like they kind of either maybe they talked themselves out of it or they played themselves out of it. It feels like a little bit of both. They just weren't making those mistakes. Or maybe just, and I would even add to it, not only are you still making these mistakes that you made earlier in the season, but in the first part of the season, I don't feel like you were dropping interceptions. In the back end, you're dropping interceptions.
Yep.
You're missing unbelievable. Like, your best players are missing routine tackles.
See, when you say, like, worst coaching job, I mean, I understand where you're getting at that, but if I took out special teams, would you say that?
Yeah.
In other words, I think it's...
Did Mike Onwenu still jump off sides when it's first and goal and make it, fourth and goal, and now all of a sudden it's fourth
and six?
Has that
never happened before in a season?
Yeah, but when you're
I'm
not
just
good
saying,
enough,
it's not had games where they've had 8 penalties and like a rookie running back's fumbling the ball, or you got a rookie quarterback throwing some pick sixes. I get it,
but those
but
are physical
me,
mistakes.
I feel like this is a special teams situation.
How many
really,
times on
really
defense,
makes this look worse?
How many times on defense was it like, hey guys, how many you want to play with? 10, 11, 12? How many want to send out there this play? Let's just play Russian roulette. Or I'll go to the simplest thing. I believe Bill Belichick's a great coach. I believe coaching should be a strength of this team. So it's hard for me to then come to grips with, you have terrible starts. Shouldn't coaching matter the most early in games? the preparation. You had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You had 6 days to prepare for these 10 plays, 12 plays, two series, scripted on offense, be ready on defense. So why are they coming out and getting pants?
It's a lot of
absolutely
stuff.
Because, coach, we stink. I might not be that good, but if you put me in a great position, we'll succeed in the first quarter.
And then we had that discussion earlier in the year, too, because not just the beginning of games, but then the third quarter.
Yeah.
Like, coming out at halftime.
So you've come into my side. Terrible coaching.
I don't think we were.
Plus, I listened to you in like week three when you were saying they were getting pantsed in the coaching department.
They still are.
No, it's almost like, so we had this discussion the other day where who are they really then? So now that the season is over and you had the first part of the season where you kind of given the benefit of the doubt, you have a rookie quarterback, you're kind of you know feeling
new
your
roster.
Way through the beginning of the season, a lot of new faces.
Yep.
And even Jerod Mayo talked about it. And then you go, okay, typical New England fashion, they figured it out. And then they have the bye week, and like, what the hell happened? Like, you're back to doing the same things that you were doing at the beginning of the season. So, full schedule that you've gone through now, who are they more like? Are they more like the irresponsible, undisciplined team that had all those problems? Or are they the finely tuned, disciplined team that takes advantage of other people's mistakes?
I would term them, there's two ways I would term it. Either the king of the dip, you know what?
What? Oh, okay.
Because
king of the dinglings?
As long as they play other crappy teams, they win. They look good, right? We're the king of the day. Or to use maybe a upper middle class. They're not rich. They're not real rich, right? There's some real rich teams in this league. Chiefs are rich.
Yeah.
Bucks are rich. Packers are rich. We're not poor, right? You're doing okay. You can pay your electric bill. You can feed your family. But you don't have a lot of money left at the end of the... That's them. They're in that just middleness.
Well, I would say, you know, to your point, it's a good one. You can look at it. Charlie Cashley said that it's one of the worst...
No. Forget it. That was a reference.
He didn't get it.
Oh, no. Oh,
I got Charlie Cashley once got really mad on live TV because a coworker brought up a topic that they hadn't discussed,
they hadn't discussed
in the production meeting.
Oh,
he goes, don't ever ask me a question you didn't bring up in the production meeting.
I think it's an interesting way of looking at it because the way they looked earlier in the year, we absolutely said that. They looked like a poorly coached team, and people got so upset over it. And it was like, I'm sorry, but I don't know how they're not. Like the way they're playing football, and they're doing it again right now. So you sort of look at them, and they go against their one biggest philosophy. You know, the NFL, most of the time you can be successful as long as you don't go out and lose the ball game.
Exactly.
And when they lose games, it's because they go out and just stupid things. They actually go out and lose the game. Special teams, penalties, turnovers.
Right,
they do everything they can to lose a game.
I think they had 8 penalties in Miami.
Yeah.
We don't even note it anymore because it's like that's run-of-the-mill. Well, that's what they do. They're just going to roll out of bed and get their 8 penalties.
We're talking about
when
the
they lose.
That's it does.
Like. Yeah, it feels
if
like
it's the Raiders, or if it's any other team, special teams coach could be fired, right?
Yeah.
They're so bad on special teams, he absolutely has to. I mean, even the little stuff. The gunner didn't field the punt.
Yeah.
In their mistakes, that's way down on the list of mistakes, but it's a mistake.
I think there's so many of those just like, what? Like, not to pick on Lawrence Guy, but at this point
pick
time,
on Lawrence Guy.
As old as you are, I just felt like, you know, he was trying to kind of – he wanted to shift late, and he wanted to kind of take an angle. Maybe he gets in the gap.
Right.
So he's never going to stay there. But, okay, so you credit the Miami Dolphins. Maybe they watched film and said,
good
you know,
coaching.
If we quick snap this, we'll catch this guy, and we'll get an easy 5 yards.
Yeah.
They did it. They won. It worked. And then he looks like just like an idiot. It looks stupid that he allowed somebody else to kind of take advantage of him, just like the Patriots usually do with other people. So that to me is that happens more than I think a lot of people would like to admit. Like how many times other coaches are taking your little tricks, your little clever, little cliche, little game plan ideas, and they're using it against you. Like that's what Vrabel's going to do to you. He does.
Yep.
He does it all the time.
Does
He's really
time.
Good at it. And you know, and Flores not surprised that he was using it against you also. You know, you just these little things that you go, it'll come up. It does. You catch him.
See,
hey, center, this guy, he does this stupid stuff all the time. Watch him. If he does it, quick snap it.
Right.
But see, I think, like, you know, as much as I'd love to jump on that, because I think it's just so sexy that this is the worst year for Bill's ever had coaching.
Do you disagree?
Here's where I disagree. And only because I think it has more to do with, because I still think Bill is the best coach in the league. Greatest coach of all time.
Doing?
Thanks, Bill. Good. How are you?
You know you don't interview him anymore,
I think,
right?
I know. And we brought this up.
I'd pay to hear you ask him face-to-face, Bill, is this the worst coaching job
no,
of your
No, I think
career?
The question would be, because we brought this up back then when all this was going down, was he spread himself too thin. He's got a special teams coach. You know, they've had a lot of turnover in the past, and they've just had, they brought good coach after good coach. They just didn't do it this year. They got a special teams coach year two. He's just not good. He's not good. He's not good at teaching these guys the fundamentals. So maybe he's got a young Steve Belichick that is just overmatched.
Yeah, but isn't he on that side of the ball?
I'm just saying, like, it just... But we've always talked about him spreading himself too thin with these coaches.
Yep.
And I do think early on it was a discussion. And I think it's fair to say right now that you, when you look around, he's got Josh McDaniels and everybody else is just too green.
Except he's on defense. Mayo's going to be a head coach. He's getting interviews for head coach. People are stunned.
Mayo is getting interviews.
Josh is pulling his name out of contention until he's done whatever. I think that's PR from Josh's camp. That's his agent putting that out there personally. But we can talk about that later. I mean, they have a Cam Acord or Accord.
Yeah.
I don't know. I struggle. Like, he's a guy that's an example of he was a low level kind of college coach, and then he's here with Joe Judge and just kind of slides right into the role.
He's next in line.
I mean, if it wasn't for Nick Folk, special teams is an F this year. And
yes,
because of Folk, maybe it's a C minus, D plus, because he's been that good.
Even,
but Bailey hasn't even been that good.
And even with Lawrence Guy's the one making the mistake.
Right.
Brandon Bolden's making the mistake. Brandon King is jumping off. It's not seven.
I feel like you keep bringing up these things.
Welcome to my side.
No, I'm there. I have a long list of them, but you forget about how many of these boneheaded issues come back to bite them in the ass.
And isn't it boneheaded if you're a fifth-round rookie? If you're a sixth-year special teams ace like
Brandon King?
That's
why it drives me crazy.
Like, and even Slater said it with us on Monday. You know, there's too many guys on this team whose primary responsibility is special teams for us to be as bad as we are on special teams. Now, he totally removed coaching. He said, because I asked him, I said, should Acord be doing more? And he said flat out, no, this isn't on coach. This is on us. We're all players, veterans.
About coaches reminding details. That's it. Is it reminding details? That's your job. That's your job. But I absolutely love it.
How many times can you remind them before you say, I mean, you're a parent. Pretty sure you've told your kids things like 10 times and they still don't do it on the 11th.
You got to take Xbox away then.
Lawrence, come here, give me your Xbox.
All right, he is Andy Hart. Yeah, he joins us thanks to McFarlane Energy, your Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractor, where they can very affordably heat your three-season room with a Mitsubishi ductless hyperheat unit.
That's pretty good.
Please visit McFarlaneEnergy.com.
Why is he doing it? I like when you do it.
I've done it before.
I like when you say Mitsubishi.
I'll have him do it a little bit later on in the show. All right, this is perfect. I love it. Is this the worst coaching year of Bill Belichick's career? 617-779-7937. It's beautiful. And by the way, the other issue, Mac Jones. Kurt Warner joined Phil Perry on his next Pats podcast and had some interesting thoughts on what he thinks the issue is with one Mac Jones. We'll talk about it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, welcome back to Maloney and Fourier. Andy Hart, WEI.com. He is in the building with us. We got Jack Edwards. He's going to join us at 4. Then Rodney Harrison. He'll join us at 4:30 as well. So we got a lot going on here today. But one of the big questions, too, is coming into this. We just talked about this game itself, is the quarterback, Mac Jones, who didn't exactly finish the season strong at all. And we're starting to wonder, like, what is going on with him? Like, what is wrong with him? Where's your trust level with him going into the game? Will Bill allow him to kind of, do his thing? Will Bill allow him to kind of be an impact in this game? I'm not so sure he will. I don't know where you fall with this, Andy. I don't think that he's going to be throwing the ball 30, 35 times. Now, if they're down 17-0, different story. But if Bill, I think, would like to control this game, I could see 18, 20, 21 passes from Mac, and that is about it.
I agree. Can we ask the same type of question about Mac that we asked about the game? Can Mac win it, or does he just have to not lose it?
Not lose it.
I agree. I think if they win
it, what he wants them to do.
Like, maybe a couple third down throws, maybe a red zone throw. But if they win it, it's going to be what we've seen, the script. Run the ball, play defense, get a turnover.
I think he's either going to win or lose the game for you.
Thanks, Wiggy.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes. Cosign.
Where I am with Mac Jones is I think he's wound too tight. I think the stress has gotten to him. I think he's been wound too tight all year. I think you guys were first on that. When you started interviewing, whenever that was, late August, early September, he's wound really tight. But even after the 2-4, nice winning streak, even if you're wound tight with
everything. Lined up a little bit.
But winning cures all. Oh, yeah. Everything feels better. Now he's feeling the pressure again. But I would actually put that secondary to, I think he's got nobody to go to. I think it's a product of the offense.
Hmm.
I think he has absolutely nobody where he can line up, close his eyes, and say, I'm throwing to that guy.
Well, he does.
Who?
But he just sucks.
Well, that's my point. I mean,
he does. I mean, Nikhil is a throw it up and catch a guy.
Yes, but I mean a real one like Edelman or Gronkowski or Diggs. Welker or Moss or Diggs.
Look, Jamar Chase, some of these other teams, young quarterbacks, automatic get-out-of-jail-free car receiver.
But Brady is my best example. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. We've all accepted that, acknowledged that, love that, the whole thing. There were always times when the going got tough, you knew he was going to either Edelman or Gronk. It wasn't. It wasn't my favorite receiver is the open receiver. It was, oh, crap, it's hitting the fan. Throw it to Gronk. Go get it, big boy. I need a play. He doesn't have that. He has to do the Brady thing where, my favorite one's the open one. You know how much pressure that is on a rookie quarterback to have to read the scheme, read the defense, know that, No. I need somebody that I can just throw it. He doesn't
have
that.
See, I think that's
everybody
part
else
of it.
Has it too.
I think his wires are getting crossed. I think he's a victim of his own just mentality. You know, and I would like to take both of you back in the way, way back machine.
Take you back.
The hot tub time machine.
I like it.
Because remember this, November 29th. Okay, right after the Tennessee Titans game, if you remember, Lou, we had him on, and they beat the Tennessee Titans, but he almost threw an interception, okay? And I was curious about it because, you would sit there and go, oh, that's what I'd like to have back. And here's what he said about that play.
My thing is just committing to the throw, and, you can't sit there and do 50-50 passes, so if you're going to throw it, just throw it, and obviously I shouldn't have thrown it there, but at least I committed to the throw. And
okay, so I like that mentality.
Me too.
Because there is a there are younger quarterbacks that they sit there and they don't trust it and they pat the ball, they end up getting sacked, or they end up sprinting away, or they end up trying to scramble, and something bad always happens. So I don't know if you ever listen to this, but this is Phil Perry on his next Pats podcast. Okay. He had Kurt Warner on. And he had Kurt Warner on earlier in the season. They were Kurt was like basically, hey, listen, hey, talk to me late in the season and we'll do a whole evaluation of the entire season. And actually, Perry asked Kurt Warner about this regression and what he thought it was. Was it a rookie wall, or was it something else?
You know, I'm not sure I would say regression. I just think there's times that he plays too fast. Sometimes he gets to the check down too quickly. Instead of letting a play out, seeing what the defense is going to do and get to his check down when he should get to his check down, he's making some of those decisions kind of real quickly.
Okay. I love that I heard this because we were talking about the Miami play, the cover two play, where Bill's like, it's cover two. Was it really? No, this was Mac being victimized by a veteran defense and a veteran corner and a good defensive head coach who obviously identified the fact that this guy has some tells. He's listening. He knows that Mac is a catch it and throw it guy. He's not going to sit there and pat the ball. He's going to read the defense and he's going to react. To his credit, it's what you want your quarterback to do. But he's just processing it, and he's almost processing it too quick. So a good defense can take advantage of him identifying the defense and then jumping the route.
So a team
that's the difference.
So defense is starting to adjust.
Yes.
And they're saying if we show him this, we know exactly what he's going to do.
He's going to process it quick.
To his point, giving him credit, he will process it. He will know that this is where the ball has to go because that's what he does. And he makes his decisions, throws with conviction, and we're going to set him up like Miami did, like Xavier Howard did.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing happened in Indy. The same thing happened in Tennessee. He got away with it. There have been a ton of interceptions that the other team should have had, but they've dropped it, where he saw the defense, and he threw it. But he got lucky. So many near misses for him. And so I don't want to fault him for it, but I do think he has to understand that the level of competition, and he has a full season under his belt, and good defensive coordinators like Leslie Frazier are going to sit there and look at it the same way. 80% of the time on third and two or less, this is who he goes to. And these are the throws that he likes to make. So let's show him this. We know he processes it. We know he can identify it. Let's show it to him. Let's see if he takes the cheese. And all we need is one, guys. So sure enough, they go down and they score. Your third play, it's third and two. You see cover two. Cover freaking two. They bait you into it. They intercept it. They run it back for a touchdown. I think that I really feel like he needs to slow the F down.
And I think he knows that. It's funny because I didn't listen to this podcast, but on the Zoom yesterday, Phil Perry asked him about this idea. Do you need to slow down? Do you get too far ahead of yourself? And he admitted, I do process things fast.
Yeah.
And isn't this a young learner problem everywhere?
Yes.
Not just football.
Isn't that the rookie wall, though? Listen, you're over. Like, it's either the rookie wall is either fatigue, okay, just emotional and physical fatigue, mental fatigue. We still got 6 weeks left. Like, I'm usually done and I'm home for Christmas, right? Or it's like you're just locked into a way of doing work.
Well, see,
finally somebody says, aha.
See, I don't think it's a bad thing, though. Like, I really don't. I think this sort of speaks to the advancement that he had this year. Because I guarantee there's a lot of young quarterbacks that the defenses don't get to that step.
Right.
You know, the defenses don't get to, listen, this guy, they're giving him credit. Like, this guy processes it quick. And if we show him this, he knows exactly where to go with the football. I guarantee there's a lot of quarterbacks that the teams don't, you know, defend that way. They say, listen, he still doesn't know where the hell to go with the ball. So now it's about adjustments.
Right.
Like, he has processed it. I think that he's advanced for a rookie to the point where now it's up to him to play that chess game. Oh, yeah, you're baiting me in. You know I know that I should go right there, but you're setting me up. So now it becomes this chess game that now because he is advanced and can read defenses quickly, that I think now he's got to start looking into. Now he's got to start thinking about.
Yeah, and that's my point.
But that's a credit to him.
They're using his advanced knowledge against him now.
Right, because he's predictable.
Yes, thank you.
He does what the book would tell him to do.
Right.
But we're taking advantage of the fact that he follows the rules.
He's such a rule follower.
Baiting him into
isn't he a rule follower?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like, he's never getting in trouble in class. Like,
he's
ever.
He's never answering a question on Merlone and Fourier.
No, never.
But it makes me think about, like, a rule follower. It makes me think, remember, like, Tom Brady always talking about Ed Reed?
Yes.
And one thing about Ed Reed, the reason why he was so difficult to go up against, because he never did what he was supposed to do.
Right.
Like, Tom would say, if I'm showing this, he should be over there. So I'm going to throw it up. So why is he over where now I have to throw it? Like, because he wasn't predictable.
And Ed Reed was a great example because he did that because he was great. He was a fellow Hall of Fame. Tom used to do that every once in a while over the years. He'd throw a pick, and you'd ask him about it, and he'd go, yeah, that guy's not really supposed to be. Like,
right.
Yeah. He would know the defense so well that some young corner would screw up, be in the wrong place, pick off a pass.
Well, he shouldn't have been able to.
Because you're not supposed to be there. I know your defense. Your coach didn't tell you to be there.
I've got the answers to the test now.
Right. Yeah. Every once in a while.
Okay, so you know who else? Junior Seau was like that?
Yeah.
So because the first time I got in the league, they said, okay, this is where he's supposed to line up. But he won't line up there. This is where he's supposed to go. Right. But there was a there were older guys that used to sit there and pull their hair out because he would just do whatever he wanted to do. But I do feel like because he's predictable, And the Bills have played him now. This will be their third time playing him. And one time, in the first game, it didn't matter
because you
threw it three times.
Right.
The second game,
they got
worst game, they got him. So if you're the Bills, you're going, okay, let's just let him run. Let's play man, and let's let him, you know, we know he's going to throw it.
Which brings us to Kurt Warner again, because it's one of the issues we talked about this Patriots team. Say, when you look at the playoffs now, and there's a couple new teams in there that we thought it was more going to be Indy. We thought it was going to be maybe the Chargers. It's not. It's the Raiders. It's the Steelers. But still, as far as the upper class of this division or even the postseason, the Patriots don't really have, like, the explosive weapons, right? They don't have an explosive type of offense. And Kurt Warner talked about that in terms of Mac Jones and this offense and why they might struggle.
You know, you have to put it all together. And you say Mac had a really, really good rookie year. But what I've seen in the regular season, I wonder if it's good enough to win in the playoffs or at least win a few games in the playoffs, because I'm not sure he's doing enough attacking down the field. I'm not sure. Let's say it this way. I'm not sure their offense is doing enough at making the big plays and kind of the game-changing plays that can flip the field or that can change the complexion of the game on one play. And it almost seems a little bit too hard for them offensively because they have to be so efficient.
Now, not as hard as it was last year, right. Correct? And I'm glad he started talking about Mac Jones, and then he sort of was like, actually, let me – this offense.
It's the weapons.
So so as much as we talk about Mac and will he be at this next level, I still think in order to take it to the next level, you need a guy. You need a number one wide receiver. You need a more explosive player. But as they're built now, yeah, this is kind of what you're dealing with in 2021. Nothing to say it won't improve next year or the year after or whatever, but he's absolutely 100% correct.
And the best example to me is the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the AFC, right?
Yes.
But I still see lots of plays where Patrick Mahomes throws it from me to you, and you are Tyreek Hill, and then you run 40.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes didn't have to do anything. That's a freebie for him. Now, when he makes his amazing play, when he rolls out, throws back across, now we got two big plays. It's all on Mac. He doesn't have anybody that can catch it short. Bourne, I guess, occasionally is that guy. You get little snippets of it, but he's not at the level of all these other teams. Patriots fans all got mad at me because I just pointed out that 26,000-yard receivers in the NFL, 7,000-yard rushers. Patriots don't one of the 10 teams that didn't have one. They were one of the four teams that made it. They got all, well, what are you saying? They said, no, I was just pointing out the facts. These are the facts. Told me they're defensive. They know that they don't have weapons. They know they don't have explosive playmakers, and that puts all the pressure on Matt.
See, but think about it, though. To lose original point from, I don't know, like, from last year, right after free agency and the whole spending all the money. So if you're going to get yourself back to level, then you're not going to get some unknowns. You're not going to get some, maybe this guy will work. You're going to get some veterans that you can count on. Like, yep. Listen, they have a resume and you can plug them in and they're smart enough and they're accomplished enough and nobody's going to the Pro Bowl, but you're going to get good, consistent, you know, veteran production. Like, you may get, maybe one time, maybe your tight end gets 10 touchdowns, you know. Maybe they split reps, but everybody's producing, and you don't need a ton of, coaching. You don't need to develop them. They're already developed. So it's a plug-and-play system. Next year, if they really decide to make a real move and a real push to see if they can get more out of Mac Jones, then they will get a speedster. They will get a dynamic receiver. They will get a difference maker so he can make those special throws to a special person.
The furthest you need to look is across the field on Saturday night. Josh Allen became great when?
Diggs.
Stephon Diggs arrived. They went all in. What did they trade? Two first-round picks? Whatever. They invested. They said, this guy is going to help take us to the next level. And he did.
They could have stayed there and got Justin Jefferson, but that's okay.
Sure. Right. Whatever. But there was more certainty. There was more certainty in Diggs. He's an NFL player.
100% right.
But, Christian, you say they brought in average guys or good guys.
I don't say they're average. They're what I would call, they're long-term pros.
But I think what they expected.
They've been in the league for 8 years.
This boils down to two people, in my opinion. Because Bourne has overachieved, I think. I think Bourne has been good. Hunter Henry has achieved. I think Hunter Henry's been what you expect. Solid veteran tight end. Catch it in the red zone.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
He's a pro.
Now we'll get to my preseason offensive MVP, Jonnu Smith.
Here it comes.
Has done nothing. Mm. Nothing.
You want to take that pick back? Or you want to?
Yes, I would. I'd like a mulligan on
that.
Who
was number two, Aguilar?
Well, that's my other point. Even if he had just been Hunter Henry, don't be great. Just do what you did for Oakland. Catch 18 yards per catch. Be a big play receiver. Yeah. He hasn't been that. So those two guys right there. You missing or failing for them to maximize, that's why we're in this situation. Yeah, you don't have playmakers.
Yeah, the Jonnu Smith thing is I just don't know what he is. Is he a hybrid?
Athlete, not a football player.
Yeah, it's like, what is he? It's like, oh, I used to play forward for, Cal.
Exactly.
And I'm a real good athlete, so find a position for me. And it's usually on the offense somewhere. But I want to play one more clip because I feel like this drives the point home. And I like the fact that an all-pro, Hall of Fame quarterback is identifying this. Because he actually goes back into that second almost pick against Indy.
Kurt Warner
does on this, Next Pat's a podcast with Phil Perry. And he talks about how he needs to kind of verify the defense.
There was another play in that game where he threw an interception, throwing it to his back on a check down, where he had an opportunity or a couple opportunities for big plays. But he got off it so quick, and then he wasn't quite ready to make, the check down throw and really see the defense. Because that's what I mean when he goes so quickly. that it's almost like boom, boom, and I got to get the ball out. You don't verify the defense.
I think that is so telling in so many ways. And we're talking about next level, like the next net level for Mac. Like, that's it. Like, there's, because I always feel like there's, like, you know, there's high school, there's college, there's like elite status where guys kind of process things. And then a guy tries to trick him, but they're like, no, I've seen this before. I know what you're trying to do. I'm going to verify it. Since it doesn't quite look right, like, I always thought when something's really normal, like, well, why is it? No, it's too normal.
Too good to be true.
It's too good. Like, you're just playing cover two, then you're going to let that guy outside. As soon as I saw the receiver do an outside release, I was like, oh, well, he's doing that for a reason, because they want to throw to Jacoby Myers, and they want the corner to turn his back so they can throw it to the quick five-yard out for a quick, easy, dink and dunk first down. Let's just keep the chains moving. Brian Flores knew it. Mac Jones did not. Like, he got sucked into his own. He wasn't verifying it, and that's why Bill was so irritated. It's cover two. Well, yeah, but it isn't really cover two. Yeah, but he knows that. He needs to know that there. That's an adjustment. That's how good defensive coordinators try to screw you. If he doesn't fix that, they're Dunsky.
Well, for now, I agree with Luke.
In this game.
I think long term, this is all a good thing.
Well, that's what
he knows what he's
said.
Doing. He
Isn't
knows
what Philly said.
Oh no, the pick six was a good thing for
Matt.
I don't agree with that one.
But he's
advanced. What he's doing now, you're hoping in New York that Wilson does next year. You hope that Lawrence does a better job next year. So he's a step ahead. It's just the defense is now taking advantage of how quick he's developed.
Like, do you think he'll make that same mistake again?
No, and that's why I was kind of laughing. I was laughing about. So Jay Feely was like trying to act like it was a good thing for that to happen in that game.
You know,
it was a good thing to happen for this game, because now if I'm the Bills, I'm like, well, damn, the Dolphins already got him. He's going to be ready for it. He's going to be ready for this. The question is now, do they get him to kind of pat it and, you know, pause, and then they sack him? See, to me, the clock's always ticking in your head. So you don't want to sit there and hold it because I got to hit that read. I got to hit this read. I got to hit this read. Okay, now I want to hit the street, but I got to verify. So you tap it, and the next thing you know, somebody gets around and they sack you.
So you don't want him to verify.
I just want him to process. I want him to understand, I guess, not what the play is, not what the route is. And this is the next level. What are they trying to do to you? That's it. Everybody runs out routes. Every single offense has the same routes. What are you trying to achieve?
So you want him to have some of the answers to the test.
Yes, I want the answers to the test.
Okay. Yeah, but
yes.
He's not in year 21.
Yes. Well, okay, that's the problem.
Why don't you give him the answers?
I don't know.
Man. If he had better coaching.
That's what it goes back to.
All right, we'll get more into the Patriots here. Coming up next, I'm a little confused because I thought Bills Mafia was like the greatest fan base of all time.
Yes.
Up in Buffalo. So why can I walk in there? And a cheap ticket is as low as $26. We'll talk about what's going on in Buffalo this Saturday night. We'll do it next.
Matt Jones is going down.
This lady's
Matt
getting rabid.
Like Velveeta at the dollar store. You can only boil the noodles so far and put the cheesy sauce on it till you get a win. We're going Buffalo. Buffalo Bills Mafia. You want to shut it down? Huddle up like a penguin, you Patriot bitches. You don't fly. You're not going to fly like we're in the wall carpenter and beat your asses tonight. Boom.
Give it up for Miss Velveeta.
Oh, Bills Mafia. Jeez. They're ready to go on Saturday night. It is going to be, what, -7, feel Woo. Like? Just about the feel like, right?
Are they?
It's all about the feel like.
Feel like.
But they
Isn't
are fired.
Really all it's
up.
About? It's yeah. only about feels like.
Yeah.
It's all it's about.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I get what the temperature says, but, like, you know, what is it really?
Right? Haven't we learned that the last couple days around here? It gets up to, like, 40, and you're like, wow, it's nice out here.
Sunny
out.
Me.
It feels good.
I don't care what the temperature. I want to know what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that matters.
And if it's -8,
yeah,
you feel like you're freezing.
So
dying.
Well, if it's -8, is it -8 or is it really -20 with the wind chill, which feels like -20?
No, the feels like is going to be -8. Yes.
Okay.
But that's still really. Do you guys remember the Super Bowl?
Which one?
Minnesota? How cold it was?
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, that was feels yeah. like you're going to die.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell
die.
Me a number. I almost died.
You almost died.
Leaving
How?
That stupid
I heard
game.
The story.
We followed signs, and all of a sudden we were in like a dead end, chain link area, and I'm like, This is how it ends.
So wait,
they find
sitting,
me frozen just like shivering.
Wait,
in a
hold on.
An alley.
Because you were sitting where I was sitting, right? In the media section, right?
Yes.
So you leave it like whatever, like the end of the third quarter. Then you guys start following those lines. It was like the yellow line that leads you to the field entrance.
Well, no, this
right?
was, we went down to the interviews. Then we came back. We had to work. We don't just get to party like you people.
Okay. Oh, no, I worked.
And then after that, okay. we tried to go to the post-game party. And I almost died.
I thought you left with Marky Mark. You didn't leave with Marky Mark?
I did not.
You didn't leave early?
So who were you with? Who was your muscle?
I don't know who I was. Somebody got an Uber, though. And then you couldn't get an Uber. And I didn't even have the Uber app. I was like, lame old dude. And we finally got an Uber. And I wanted to kiss the man when he showed up. Like, so, he saved my life.
It's amazing you even found one.
So, yeah. So the big game. I mean, Buffalo, they go nuts, right? They get a home playoff game. So there's no question. I don't care if it's minus 8, minus 20. They're going to show up. Well, right now, you got, let's say, I saw this, a Bruins Flyers tickets. Tonight, for the Bruins Flyers, they're more expensive than tickets that it cost to get into this playoff game, Bills Patriots. What is going on with the Bills fans? They can't sell out a game for a playoff game? It's more proof that this sport is dying.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It really is.
I know you're mocking it. It is more proof that this sport is growing fast on the stay home and watch on the couch TV
side. Much
more
comfortable.
Yes. I do think they have a sneaky attendance problem.
How can you claim Bills Mafia and still have tickets available?
It's COVID. Now,
there's a difference. There are
tickets COVID
available.
And the cold?
COVID and the cold is keeping
them away. Big controversy, though, right? Like people, it's only secondary market. Well, I mean, secondary market, when you see tickets for $26 or $35, like they're just giving them away to try to get people in there.
Yeah.
If it was a high demand, they'd be a lot more than $26.
I don't supply and demand.
I looked at these tickets and I'm like, all right, so they're all like upper level, $36, $29. It's like the crappiest of the crap. Okay, that's where you're gonna be affected by the weather the most.
But don't you wanna get in
cheap?
Don't you wanna get in? If you're a passionate Bills fan, you wanna go see Josh Allen whoop the Patriots like he did the last time he played them. We're going to the next round, baby. We might go to the Super Bowl. Like, you're building momentum. This is what you dream of.
It's probably your last home game. It's your only home
last
game.
Your only home
and
playoffs.
It's the trilogy. It's the end of the trilogy.
Their fans are stuck in Canada because they can't cross the border because of COVID.
Yeah, I also
so you think that plays into it?
No, but it's the only... Because I think the Bills are a good fan base. I really do. I think they've been loyal to that team for 20 years through crappy quarterbacks and just no playoffs and being Brady's bitches.
They invented a reason to go to games.
Right.
They invented, that's how much they like it. It was like, the team sucks. So do you really think that they're not going to be sold out?
No, but that's not the issue. Why? Because you guys must have people, I got buddies that are like, hey, I was looking at these tickets. It's only a 7-hour drive. If we can get in for like $30.
No way.
And I'm like, you're out of your mind.
You do have Sunday to drive back. You know, like, just take your time. It's also a Sunday game.
I think the -8 is a big deal, but I would flip it. Do you think if this game were being played in Foxborough, -8, same conditions, would there be $20 tickets?
No, it'd be packed.
So to your point.
It'd be packed.
So what does it get down to?
Yeah.
Economics. Economics.
Yeah.
Economics.
Well, for $26, you can get in the building.
Listen, we feel the same way about this. You a high price, you know, hoity-toity, like big wigs from Framingham, like with all the money and like in the two houses.
The secondary market, guys, isn't $250 a seat. It's $26 to get in.
You're living to paycheck to paycheck.
Have you been to Buffalo lately?
I haven't been there since 07.
Like, talk about a depressed 06. City.
COVID unemployment ran out. No more of those paychecks for having kids or whatever you get.
Maybe I missed it because people are talking about, okay, you need vaccine cards to get in the stadium. Canada, the border, and you know, COVID, everything else. Okay. Did COVID just sneak up on us or has it been going on for a while on the border of Canada? Like, have they not been selling out this year?
Have they?
We're all in this together.
Like, has Buffalo been having issues selling tickets because of these?
I don't believe
they've
ever had
issues.
Because
you can't tell me that they were selling out before and then all of a sudden their first playoff game, vaccination cards and COVID at the border is the problem.
I would add this though, but even like a lower level 50-yard line ticket is $123.
That's nothing.
That's economics though. I believe that's economics. I believe that
Tyler,
if
what's
you're
up?
In New York City, this would be $350. But since you're in Buffalo,
and you can't get a
seat. It's like real estate. Location, location.
Ryan, but Tyler, rather, what do you got?
So the get-in price for Bills Patriots AFC wildcard game is $26. That is the same price for the Worcester Red Sox at the Toledo Mudhens on May 6th. That is a Friday night AAA baseball game that is the same price as an AFC wild card game.
One sport is dying, one sport is thriving.
There you
Minor
go,
league
Luke.
Baseball's taking off.
Mm. Now we're just mocking. Mm. That is not fair.
I feel like there's something
so
to
you
this.
So you think Buffalo is just broke and they can't afford $123?
It's like a third world country.
So no one. So what do they get? 20,000 people?
When have you been to Buffalo? I've been to Buffalo.
Yeah, but this isn't like how much is a regular ticket at Buffalo? They don't sell out. They have empty seats all over the freaking place all year long.
They're there. They're passionate. They're always there.
So why aren't they there now?
You drive through, they throw eggs at you.
So why aren't they there now? Is it because of the weather? I thought they were tough.
First of all, it's
what about
Thursday.
The first of the year? Something happened to the economy the first of the year? New quarter, new month?
I don't know.
Paid the rent?
I don't know. I just feel like I feel like this has nothing to, if this is economics, this is, you know, average, you know, pace, salary of, you know, the medium income of the people of Buffalo.
Throw away money left and right.
On food.
Tables. Tables cost
table
more than $26. The tables they
break. He's got you there. Those are like $50
tables. Yeah, I know.
By the way, this is the same fan base that calls themselves the self-proclaimed back-to-back best fans in professional football. The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Well, they probably have some making up to do. I wonder. Yes, okay, fine.
You
they're whipping out.
Well,
you think it's because of the cold then?
It'll most likely be their last home, only playoff game.
Let me spin this.
Most likely.
Maybe they're supremely confident. Maybe they're saving their money to go to the Super Bowl. It's going to be costly to get to L.A. or Dallas, wherever the Super Bowl ends up. They're being smart.
No.
They don't have a ton of money, so they know that they want to go to the big game.
They're poor.
They're looking past the Patriots. This is such a layup win. Who wants to go to that crappy game?
Oh, my God.
It's a poor city.
Now that everybody up in Buffalo, they got GoFundMe pages.
And this guy goes,
to get
it's
me
Buffalo.
The seats.
You been there? It's awesome.
It's terrible.
No, right. They got good food. Go, money's not important.
All right.
Yeah, you know
who
says
Adams
that?
Mark?
Poor people.
Adams Mark Hotel, what? They used to stay there, is not a great hotel.
What do you think the nicest hotel in the city of Buffalo is?
Holiday,
they don't have a Ritz.
Which is very nice.
They don't have like a high-end Marriott.
It is the Red Roof Inn.
That's the Red Roof Inn. Stop. We got free breakfast. Hey, guess what?
Free Wi-Fi, free HBO.
I would say go over the border and go to the casino, but
you can't
do that anymore. God, that'd be miserable. I played one summer up there, and if I couldn't go to Canada to go to the casino every night, I don't know what I'd do.
Play for the Bison?
I did. Back in, what year? 06. All right, this hour, Maloney and Forey, brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. When we come back, Bart Scott. We heard the issues that Josh Allen has, you know, with circulation in his feet. Well, Bart Scott has some advice for one Josh Allen. We'll do it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.